Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. It feels like forever that I have not seen you, Vera.
It does feel like forever.
Right? I'm skipping the intro because y'all know who we are by this point. And it kind of feels like time is maybe because the days are getting shorter. But then again, you're in Portland, so the light is completely different. Tell us, last time we spoke, you were about to sell your house. Now, what's happened since then?
Yeah, so I was in the process of selling and it happened so fast. Like, first you're on the market and you're like, well, I always knew my house was going to sell. But of course, my husband's like, what if our house never sells? You know, I'm like, okay, it takes time. And then suddenly from one day to the next, boom, an offer comes in and then the ball gets rolling and you're selling, right? So it's really crazy. And we came to Portland, fell in love. And next thing you know, within a week of selling, we're making offers on homes up here. And this is a very interesting thing. When we bought in Lake Arrowhead, we opened escrow on one house and the inspection report came back and it was not great. So we got out of that escrow. And the same thing happened here. We found an incredible house, but the inspection report came back where the house was like, it had like rot issues and things that you could overlook if you're looking to invest a ton of money into it and fix it up. But we already went through like that kind of flip phase. And I just wanted a home that I could move into. So we got out of that escrow. We invest in real estate, so you know it's always kind of funny. You never know what you're going to get when you get into the process. So now we're in Portland, just like that. We found a house. We loved it. Well, we have found a second house. We loved it. Everything, like when it's right, it's right. Everything goes right. And we did actually a super short escrow, 2 weeks.
Whoa. Done. Nice. Yeah. I'm sure the buyer or the seller was really happy for that.
Very
They're
happy.
Like, let's get this
done. And it
done.
Was actually, the previous owner was from California. She was already living back in California. She was for whatever reason, people are here, then they go back, for whatever purposes they have to go back for. And so she was really thrilled that California people were coming in. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, it's been really, really fun. And the short escrow is definitely, if you can swing it, it's fun. It just gets up here. Inspections happen really fast. Repairs can happen really fast too. Oregon is a little bit different when it comes to that, which I really like.
Absolutely. And it gives you a better buying power, right? I mean, for the seller, that's exciting. They're like, great, we're going to close a lot sooner. But as the buyer, right? I mean, other people might be putting in an offer and they're going to do the traditional 30 days. Sometimes escrow can take longer, right? The fact that you're like, hey, we can do it in 2 weeks, that obviously just is more appealing. So congratulations. That's a huge,
thank you,
huge deal before the end of the year. And Portland's a beautiful place. So you picked, I can't wait to visit. It's one of my favorite places too. So
yeah,
she's going to be Portlandia moving forward.
Exactly. Everyone's like, have you watched that show? I'm like, I haven't. I have to watch. I mean, I've seen memes and little clips and it's hilarious. So I will definitely watch it now that
one of my favorite actors, Fred Emerson, who's, famous for SNL, everything. And I think he co-wrote the series as well, but he's just, everyone in the show is brilliant. Yes, you have to watch it. It's a funny.
Is he the one that played Mango on SNL?
Oh, yeah, I think so. He's always the guy that played the Cuban guy or the Spanish
guy. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'll definitely watch it. He was always hilarious.
He's hilarious. I definitely watch it. So back to Financially Savvy 20 Minutes. Actually, that was actually all 20 minutes of something savvy because you're right. I mean, figuring out what you're going to buy a place, sometimes things, escrows fall through or it's just not meant to be in that sense for you. And so I don't ever want to see someone say, oh, we got stuck and we ended up following through with it, but we weren't happy. And
that's
so the fact,
so true.
You have to be in a good place to be buying something, let alone selling something, and then be like, okay, we have options. So, woohoo.
I just want to make one quick point on that. We have a friend that apparently their realtor advised them not to do the inspection to save like $400 or $600. And then they ended up having so much damage after that they had it fixed. And I don't know. I just like, just pay it. Pay
That's
the inspection
a nightmare.
Fee. It's such a nightmare because you're, I mean, in California, I think inspections now are like $700 if you're doing the sewer scope and whatever else.
It's worth
it. Here, it's around the same price. And they include another one that's like radon. And it's so worth it. I mean, we obviously had to pay it twice because we went into escrow at another house. But the contingency period that it gives you so you can really examine the house and see whether or not it's fit for you, you have to take advantage of that. Because
and
it's,
you negotiate.
It's your get out of jail card. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It still allows you to negotiate. That happened to mm-hmm. us more than a couple of times where it's like the water heater or something. Just something wasn't right. And oh my gosh, it's worth paying the $700 if it's more or whatever it is. Because, first of all, hopefully they fired that realtor, never work with them again.
Yeah.
That is horrible advice. And I think that's one thing we always say when you're working with a realtor or broker, make sure they're investors themselves, right? Maybe this
yeah.
person, you know, was trying to make the close, and I get it. Times might be tough, but it's still not, not good advice.
Honestly, if you're not some like investor group that's buying a dilapidated block of buildings for $100 million and you're going to tear everything down, so then you waive the inspection, I can understand waiving it at that point, you know, because you're going to tear buildings down, fine.
Yeah.
But if you're just normal human beings like the rest of us, just do the inspection.
Yeah, if you're not a contractor, if you're not Chip and Joanne, yeah. being able to flip it and fix your own house.
Yeah,
absolutely not. I don't recommend that ever. and, you know, I think it's funny now that we're seeing more and more people leaving California, you know, going to different states. I think that's more of the conversation of not only is it affordable, and you like you said, yeah, you see things move a lot quicker. And obviously because there is not as many, you know, not as many people, not as much inventory compared to, you know, certain places. But there's so many ways that you can have a better buying power and negotiate. Even if you're getting a loan, you know, great, the interest rates aren't the best, but they're not the worst. I mean, I was listening to, I'm trying to remember the name of the podcast, and I listen to him all the time, and I really enjoy his podcast. He's been in real estate for like 40 something years. And he was mentioning that a lot of people are really worried about the interest rates that are continuing to go up. But, you know, for reminding everyone that in the 80s and prior to that, we've had higher interest rates up, you know, up double digits. And so you can still always refinance in the future. There's just other options. And especially if you have the opportunity to move into something you like, something that's affordable, right? You know, out of state, I understand that too. So it's just kind of interesting where I'm like, these are the times where people should be shopping around and like you said, negotiating, know exactly what you're getting yourself into. And coming in strong and be like, yeah, we can close. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't take this lightly. Like, we were in the fortunate position of being able to have leverage and saying like, you know, we're going to do it. And for those of you that are, cause my mom is thinking of selling her house. Right. And I said, like, if you wanted to sell in the next, let's say 6 to 8 months, I also think, like you said, a savvy investor will be like, ooh, it's in a great area. Great, you know, if you're a family with kids, whatever, great schools, easy access to freeways. It's like kind of it checks all the boxes. Yeah, you're going to go into it. But like, I don't think the realtors really educate the client. And maybe the client doesn't do their own research to know that like, hey, maybe if I have the money to afford the interest rate at this moment, in 2 or 3 years, I can refi. And who knows, maybe we go back, I doubt it, but maybe we go back to that 3%, you know, that we saw, hopefully without a pandemic, but that would be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, all things are possible, as we have seen in the last couple of years.
And hopefully, you know, you build these relationships with, you know, people that you work with, like you're saying, these realtors, these brokers. And if you're serious in wanting to invest future and saying, hey, this isn't just a one-time deal, but, you know, they need to understand that you are choosing them for a reason, right? It's a lot mm-hmm. of money that they're going to come in with as far as the commission goes. And you can go with anyone. And, you know, honestly, you can even buy it yourself, right? It's just, there's just so many different ways that I think sometimes the people that you work with on your team will either continue to help you invest wisely and you know, make the right moves, or they can just be like, oh, I'm just trying to get the one-time commission and, you know, chances are probably won't work together. And so that's where you should be asking yourself, should I keep working with this person or not? And I've had to do that in the past too, where I'm like, that person wasn't really, or just there wasn't a good fit, or just, you know, certain things. And you just kind of have to, it's like you're dating, you know, you have to find the right person. And when you do, you're just like happy with it, because you're like, oh, I totally know the style. I totally know, they know how I am. There's no, you know, trying to figure out if am I being, you know, too upfront or too aggressive. And for me, I'm like, I like to lowball, because that's how you should be, you know? And if they can't do that, then you find someone that will, you know? And
it's true. The person that I use, I've used him a couple of times, and it's literally a family friend that has been, I mean, I've known the person since he was 13 years old. Okay. So long time, and I've seen the growth, and it's just been amazing to also just to listen to him engage, super savvy in what they do. Like, I know some stuff, but I'm, you know, it just pales in comparison. And the conversations that he's able to have, and also without, he already knows what to say without me having, he doesn't need to check with me all the time, because he knows, like, that's not what's best for my client. So why am I gonna even bring it up to you?
Yeah.
You know, respectfully, of course, like, you always have to be transparent, but I really like that. And when a person really has that experience, you almost say, like, hey, you know, have that conversation, see what happens, and then get back to me when we have something real. Like, I don't have to worry about that, because I have my own job to worry about, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people, I think a lot of broker, like real estate agents and brokers, they leave their client hanging. Like, my person had, which I love, I'm like one of those annoying, I'm very particular with who I do business with, because I'm annoying. I want everything really like detailed.
Me too.
And I want organization. And I ask a bazillion questions. And he had like a whole timeline, you know, movement, pendings, notifications. A lot of realtors don't have software in place that really helps and makes you a little savvy as the buyer or the seller. And it makes them savvy too, because they have to kind of gauge like whether or not their clients are reading contracts, whether or not they understand what disclosures mean. So it's all part of financially savvy. Everything, like if you're even trying to get into investing in any way, shape, or form, you have to ask yourself, like, what kind of an investor am I, first of all? What kind of leverage do I have? And do the research. Don't become an expert on it. Leave the experts to do their jobs, but at least have some knowledge, right? Oh. Read some books. Talk to us. Talk to people who have gone through the process.
A list, right? Yeah,
make a list.
Yeah, making a list. Like you just said, you know, you come in with a bunch of questions, and I think oftentimes, because we're working with professionals, we expect them to ask all the questions that we're wondering or don't know. It's great to have them as like our support system, but I like hearing them talk about like, oh, you know, when you go somewhere with them, they're asking the questions that, you know, you want to know the answers to. And then also you've said working with the family friends. So I've had good and bad with that. And usually I try not to work with family friends anymore, or family member in that sense. And just like you said, not because I'm just annoying in that sense, but I feel there's always this layer of politeness, or we're afraid to say what we want to say because they are family or family friend, as opposed to a working professional. And not to say they're not working professionals, but I feel that sometimes I'm not being truthful with myself. So I've had to learn to navigate. And there's been a few people that I have worked that are family friends. And I, from the beginning, I'm like, hey, this doesn't jive. I might have to fire you. This is how we work, right? And if they're cool with that, and knowing that we can still have a whatever kind of relationship after, then great. You know, like, there's no hard feelings there. But I think it's sometimes we have the misconception that this friend or this person is always like this. But when it comes to such a vulnerable state, because buying a place is a very vulnerable
state, vulnerable,
right? Oh, yeah. It's probably the most expensive thing you buy, right?
Absolutely. There's so much anxiety and like, did I do the right thing? Did I read the contract correctly? Should I have asked, you know, should I have negotiated more? Did I get taken advantage of? All these things. And I agree with you. Luckily, I mean, my person knows, like, hey, man, no hard feelings. Like, it's just, and this, like, we it's so personal. Like, there's so much there's so much personal aspect to it that we know that the business is not going to, just because we're injecting business, it's not going to ruin it. Because from the get-go, we're also like, hey, this is, you know how I am, you know how my husband is, okay? If I am a certain way, he's, Olivia's next level. So, you know, if you're cool with spreadsheets and emails and 2 o'clock in the morning, then we're gonna vibe. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's your, this is your home. This is where you're going to be working and living. And especially, you know, some of us, we have that opportunity to work from home. So it's like, we're there all the time. And I was just thinking about that the other day where I'm like, I'm home all the time. So when I'm out and about with people, my family and my friends, it's such a shock. I mean, like, I don't know if that still happens to you. I mean, it's been, the pandemic has been over technically, but it's still in pandemic mode. I feel like a lot of us are still slowly creeping out and wondering like, huh, and am I still comfortable in these spaces, like conferences and all this? So I think it's really important to enjoy the environment that you're in or create the space that you want. You've been to my house and you've seen it progress in the last few years a lot. And it's that where I think about, oh yeah, when we bought the house, it wasn't like horrible teardown, but it was definitely not what we felt comfortable in. Or we knew there was a vision. And my friend and I was just at her house and she completely transformed the house from the front to the back. It's such a cool transformation. I call her my Joanne, because she's like a Chip and Joanne.
That's awesome.
And I told her, I'm like, it's amazing to see the progress in a few years, but it's understanding that you have to create that home and you have to invest in that too, not just your money, but your time and your energy. And that's what you guys will be doing. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about your journey in this new city, new state, new home. But also just kind of like how else are you going to be moving forward? You know, we're running down towards the end of the year. So it's kind of like, how amazing and exciting do you have to start the new year in a new space, right?
Yeah, a new space. And it's funny you mentioned just really quick before we end the pandemic thing. Like, so I've always really been a homebody. And my husband was saying like, oh, the neighbors haven't really come out to be like, oh, hey, neighbor. I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, I like to be in my house. I don't need to be all like, hey, let's be best friends. Like, cordial, polite, like, I got your back, you got my back for sure. But I don't need to be having like dinners. You know what I mean?
No. But here's a fun tip, because it is the end of the year with holiday stuff. You know, you don't know what people's, you know, beliefs totally. And all that. But that's kind of a nice sneak for you to be like, oh, I'm going to go introduce myself to at least the neighbors that you want to keep an eye on your house kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, bring them a little treat or something.
I want to do like, I'm going to do whatever, I want to do a basket of whatever vegetables are in season. I love doing that. And that's just like so neutral in terms of like whatever they celebrate. I'm just like, hey, abundance.
You know, I love what I mean? It. Yeah. And so at least they know who you are, right? And they don't mistake you for someone else. You're like, are you renting? Yeah. Are you owning? What's the deal?
And we'll get into a whole diversity topic on another episode up here,
because it's
less diverse. So they can certainly, like, even down in Southern California, in Lake Arrowhead, because it's so not diverse, people thought I was like that housekeeper,
right?
Versus like, no, this is my house. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's just
a lot of assumptions.
I've had two people in Portland tell me the same thing. They're Latinas. And one of them, oh my gosh, she was telling me she was sweeping her porch in her front of her condo. And this lady walks by and pretty much it's like, oh, can I have your business card? And she was like, oh, she must know I have. And in her mind, she was like, wait, how does she know I have a business? Because she did. She had her own business. But she was not in that work mode. So she was kind of confused. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, you know, what's your rate? And then she's like, huh? Like, I'm sorry. How do you know about my business? She goes, oh, isn't this are you cleaning for somebody? And she's like, no, this is my house. I own it.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, and she said the funny thing is that the lady looked mortified, because she was probably like those people like, I'm an ally. And I'm sure, you know, she probably didn't mean to offend
her. Everyone's an ally until they realize they're still not, you know, decolonized, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, no matter where you are in the country, it's, you know, safe to say, you know, don't assume. But that'll be fun stories to hear, and hopefully nothing horrible for you.
Nah, I don't think
so. But I think that's the beautiful part. That's something I like about Portland. It's kind of, you do see those changes. You do see a lot more people coming in of different diverse backgrounds. And so I think you'll be enriching there. They're lucky to have you either way. But yeah, I think that's going to be interesting.
Thank you.
Very interesting. And then we need to do a follow up to find out kind of like, I always have buyer remorse when I buy something, especially when it's a property. But I would love to hear kind of like what your feels on later on when taxes come around. That's when I get happy because I'm like, oh, property taxes. And once that's paid, but like the return that we get and just looking at saying you made a good investment. So we'll have to do a follow up.
I already see property value going up. So I'm like, hey. So I will leave us with that. But we'll check back in a couple of months. Yeah.
Yeah. So her exit strategy, guys, always invest where your property value is already going up before you even close. That's a good deal. So we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.